I was walking in Publix this morning following the 8 o'clock service, making my ways around the aisles looking for eggs because my Charlie wanted pancakes. And it was crowded because Publix was closing early, and you know, we have all these grocery stores, but none of us can live more than 24 hours without stuff from Publix. And I became aware in the midst of all of the grocery and hurry of the holiday that there were many people sitting around me, standing around me, running around me, grabbing around me, for whom this night really holds very little significance. I'm sure they will do something tonight. They will gather with friends. They will share drink and toast and perhaps exchange presents. But the significance of this day, this eve of our Lord's Nativity, is of little significance. But that shouldn't be surprising to me or to you, because even on that first night, there were many for whom the birth of Jesus was of little significance. A Caesar who thought himself a god, pushing peoples, peasant peoples around as he saw fit, causing this group to go back to this city and this people to go here, so he could count them and know how grand his empire was. That's one aspect of this story. They are on the journey because they are of no significance, and therefore their discomfort and their long journey are of unimportant factors in the powerful people. And yet, from a different perspective, from an angelic perspective even, this night is the most significant night in the history of the world. You see, for God the Son to do all that He did in His life, He had to enter our world. And that is what the angels proclaim. This most significant night of Him entering, Him piercing our world with His presence. And I don't know about you, but I'm confused. I'm told that we're living into a more and more secular world. Fewer people are attending church. The world is getting away from a Judeo-Christian moral understanding of right and wrong. And yet my television is bombarded with all these Jesus stories. Have you noticed it? CNN, Fox, I mean, it doesn't matter. They're all playing these significance of Jesus, the first disciples after Jesus, the story behind Jesus. I mean, I'm thinking, what is going on? Jody laughs at me. At times I'm still on the edge of our bed debating with the television set. Oh, but you're not making the right point there. And where's N.T. Wright to say something? You know, why are they interviewing the right people? And it's frustrating. And I'm not exactly sure what the world's going to look like in the next 20 years. Seems that though this night is not very significant to a lot of people, talking about it has become significant. I had an email that didn't come to fruition, but at some point in this week, a reporter from one of the local, the local TV station was trying to contact me. Heard about our church and blah, 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 and would love to interview me on Christmas. I told him I wasn't going to be available on Christmas, but that if he wanted to catch me earlier than Christmas, I'd be glad to talk to him. Well, it didn't work out, or at least I haven't heard from him. But I began to wonder what I would say to him, because I know what he's trying to get me to say. But what would I say? What do we say to those who feel as if this is not such a significant night? Well, I think it's quite simple. As a matter of fact, I think the simplicity of the Nativity is probably where we get into trouble. Stick to the simple facts. They are these. One, Jesus was born into a broken, imperfect world that needed to be made whole. That's what we believe. That's why He was incarnate. Because our world was not as God intended it to be. He came out of the great need. Now, you might not catch that in the gospel reading tonight, but if you had heard or if you know the Magnificat, Mary's song in the first chapter of Luke, you will recognize the need of the world that Jesus is born. It talks about the haves and the have-nots, the proud in their own thoughts, the mighty on their thrones, the exalted. Also talks about the hungry, the empty, those in pain, those who need help, those who need mercy, those who need forgiveness, hope. This is the world that Jesus is born into. And He's come to bring wholeness. The city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. That's what that word Savior can mean, you know. That's a good way of thinking about it. A Savior is someone who brings us whole, who brings us out of captivity, who heals our wounds. That is the world Jesus was born into. The second point to make and to keep it simple is that Jesus works through the humble and lowly. He comes to heal, to bring wholeness to tremendous pain and brokenness in the world. And yet, rather than going to kings and princes, He goes to the most humble and lowly in the society. This is the way God works. Not through the strong, not through the mighty, through the weak, through the humble, through the lowly. Listen to what Paul says, the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting with verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the world's standard. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is lowly and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Jesus Christ, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, it is written, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Jesus works through those who are of no worldly consequence. Doesn't that strike you? a peasant girl. Shepherds. These are His instruments. The sign that we're given. And this shall be the sign to you. You will find the baby lying in a manger. A feeding trough for animals. Found in the homes of first century Jewish people. Found in the stables. These are His instruments. Jesus works through the humble and lowly. Third, keeping it simple, the Jesus of the Nativity story comes not just to be born, but to make new birth possible. He comes for recreation, for restoration. I love the scene in the Passion of the Christ. It's not in the Scriptures, but it's a powerful line where Jesus is on the Via Dolorosa and He looks up and He sees His Mother Mary and He says, "Behold, woman, I make all things new." That began on this holy night. Jesus came to make all things new. He came to turn shepherds into evangelists. He came to redeem this world, to redeem you and I, to reverse the cycle of death and pain, those living in darkness and death. A great light has shone, the prophet tells us. This is the fact. These are the facts of the Nativity. Jesus born into a broken world, working through the humble and lowly, and coming to make all things new. Our bishop, James from Kenya, wrote a letter that I'm going to be emailing out to you. He captures this understanding of the Incarnation. He writes, "The celebration of the Incarnation is only meaningful if you go beyond the Nativity story and appreciate the whole ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, up and to His death and resurrection. It's only another Christmas," he says, "if we fail to reconcile, to recollect what was fulfilled in the Incarnation, bringing people into new relationships with God, setting people from sin, demons, diseases, ignorance, poverty, oppression, wrong relationships, and death, loving the outcast. Unlimited forgiveness and reconciliation between people and between them and God. Reinterpreting the law of Moses and making love more important than keeping rules. This is why Christ was born. Into a broken world, working through the lowly and humble, to bring about restoration, renewal, new birth. And this is what you and I are called to live out. You see, the world and those who do not believe can easily ignore our celebrations and our words and our rhetoric. They've heard it all before. But what if we begin to emulate it? What if we began to live it out, not only on Christmas Eve, but each day of the year? What if we began to recognize in ourselves our brokenness and our need and be willing to share that? What if we learned how to approach life from humble, lowly humility? What if we learned to be like that manger and those shepherds and Mary, the mother of our God? You see, that's the hard part, I think. Letting go of all we have. Powerful, independent, self-starters. Get it done kind of Americans, right? But God works through the lowly. God works through the humble. So it won't be through our means. It'll be through His. Paul says later in Corinthians, I boast in my weaknesses. For when I am weak, God's strength is made perfect. Alex, paraphrase. And what if we began to do what our bishop calls us to do in his letter? To begin to look for ways to cause the rebirth, the reconciling of relationships, the restoration of lives. What if we became a place where forgiveness and change was possible? New beginnings. Then I believe the world would have to take notice. Notice that it is God who draws us to the manger. It is God who chooses His own messengers, His angelic and His human messengers, and puts the spotlight on that manger. But it is each of us who must decide how we will respond. You see, the shepherds told the story. They were faithful. But the Scripture says that many marveled at what they saw. But the implication is that they were unchanged. But Mary, for Mary it was quite different. Scripture says that Mary treasured up these things in her heart. She pondered. She allowed into her heart the events that were transpiring. She took into her heart that Jesus had come in the midst of a broken world, that He had come and chose to use her, a lowly one. And she had faith that He was coming to make all things new. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.